When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. USA.
I guess you wonder why I let this rich man by and passed up all his money with a smile. Sitting duck, you say, I let him get away. Well, the answer is I steal with style. I steal with style. I don't come up and rob like some dumb country slob. I let my treasure dangle for a while. I let my treasure lay and flatter it away. Well, the answer is I steal with style. With my dark face on, I am the bandit of the woods. And when I'm him, it's easier to snatch the stolen goods. But when Jamie Lockhart, the thieving ain't the same. It's a finagling, angling game. So I let this rich man go, because I truly know this place of his might be a treasure pile. I'll ride out to his house and play some cat and mouse, and I promise you I'll steal with style. On the evening I was born, the stars were looking fine. Stars that I was gonna shine. I was born for faking and taking come what may. It's a finagling, angling way.
There's any singing actor on Broadway today who has style and knows how to steal with it, it's Stephen Pasquale. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM Peconic Public Broadcasting, emanating today out of our New York City studio. Because, listeners, we're going to steal an hour of your attention because we have Stephen Pasquale himself in the studio, and Steve sometimes gets embarrassed, but I must truthfully introduce him as the greatest singing actor of his generation. So, welcome to Broadway to Main Street, Stephen.
That's so embarrassing, and yet I want you to say it 100 more times.
Okay, well, we only have an hour.
Okay,
we want to squeeze in some of you singing.
Great.
So, you've just made this tremendous career on television and film, and certainly on Broadway and off-Broadway. You struck me in some of the conversations we have as different from 99% of other show folk. I don't think you were the kid who sang I Believe in You in front of his parents' bathroom mirror at the age of six the way, oh, I did. What were some of the musical influences you had growing up?
Well, I'm a self-taught singer. I've never studied singing. And I was an athlete as a kid. And so my sort of route was really circuitous to the theater. I always was a decent mimic, and I sang along in the car with my favorite singers, Billy Joel and Stevie Wonder and Donny Hathaway. And once I sort of caught the theater bug, I fell in love with, of course, Mandy Patinkin and Anthony Warlow, ultimately, who I think pound for pound might be the greatest theater singer in the world.
Wow.
Certainly in his prime, I would argue that he is or was.
And did you get dragged to see theater stuff? Were you mostly listening to top 10 stuff? Or
yeah, I mean, I'm from a place that I have a warm feeling in my heart for, but it's a completely cultureless place. I'm from central Pennsylvania, where there's not a lot of opportunity to hear anything other than sort of pop radio. And when the movies come out, it's all superheroes. And, you know, there's certainly not a thriving theater scene or a dance scene or, you know, a classical music scene. So my experience was really limited. But my parents every year took us to New York for a Christmas time sort of visit. And I had an incredible moment. And he hates when I tell this story because it ages us both, but mostly him. I went to go see Blood Brothers, starring David and Sean Cassidy. And my friend Brian Darcy James was on for David Cassidy. And it was the first thing I'd seen, I think, except other than maybe like Phantom or something that my parents had dragged me to. And it affected me like profoundly. And I was just at that age. I think I was maybe 17. And I remember thinking like, I don't understand why I'm like crying, like my foot's not caught in a bear trap. No one has like headbutted me. And yet I'm feeling very upset. You know, real sort of small town, you know, athletic kid coming to terms with what feelings are.
Wow.
And so from then it became something very interesting to me to pursue.
Now, you mentioned Mandy earlier. How did Sunday in the Park affect you?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I did that thing where I was introduced to the sort of huge musicals of the time, Miss Saigon and Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis, and I really thought they were great once I sort of had caught the bug. But then I went away for a summer between my junior and senior year high school. I went to the Cherub program at Northwestern to study, and I was around other like theater kids for the first time who were like passionate and really good at it.
They had grown up listening in the
Were like, oh, you don't know Stephen Sondheim? You don't know Adam Gettle? You don't know, you know, all these classic Richard Rodgers and Hammerstein and Lerner and Lowe? I mean, so I learned an enormous amount about the truly great canon that we have in the American musical theater that summer. And so I remember listening to it sort of in a dorm room environment. And just
so you listened to the cast album and it grabbed you.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, let's hear the song that grabbed Stephen Pasquale from Sunday in the Park with George.
Mademoiselles, you and me, pal. Second bottle, she looks for me. Bonnet flapping, yapping, roof, chicken, pastry. Yes, she looks for me. Good. Let her look for me to tell me why she left me, as I always knew she would. I had thought she understood. They have never understood, and no reason that they should. But if anybody could, finishing the hat, how you have to finish the hat, how you watch the rest of the world from a window while you finish the hat, mapping out a sky, what you feel like planning a sky, what you feel when voices that come through the window go until they distance and die, until there's nothing but sky, and how you're always turning back to late from the grass or the stick or the dog or the light, how the kind of woman willing to wait's not the kind that you want to find waiting to return you to the night, dizzy from the height. coming from the hat, studying the hat, entering the world of the hat, reaching through the world of the hat like a window, back to this one from that, studying a face, stepping back to look at a face, leaves a little space in the way, like a window, but to see, it's the only way to see. And when the woman that you wanted goes, you can say to yourself, well, I give what I give. But the woman who won't wait for you knows that however you live, there's a part of you always standing by, mapping out the sky, finishing a hat, starting on a hat, finishing a hat. Look, I made a hat. Where there never was a hat.
I have often walked down the street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live. Are there lilac trees in the heart of town? Can you hear a lark in any other part of town? Does enchantment pour out of every door? No, it's just on the street where you live. And oh, the towering feeling, just to know people stop and stare, they don't bother me, for there's nowhere else on earth that I would rather be. Let the time go by, I won't care if I can be here on the street where you live. To know somehow you are near, the overpowering feeling that any second you may suddenly appear. People stop and stare. Baby, they don't bother me, for there's nowhere else on earth that I would rather be. Let the time go by, I don't care if I can be here on the street where you live. I'll be here on the street where you live. I'll be here on the street where you live.
So we're back with Stephen Pasquale, who said somehow that he eschewed the typical musical theater repertoire of Lerner and Lowe, but you aced this song on this album of yours. I think it's 2009 of yep. Standards. How did you come about that?
Well, Jessica Mulaski is a very old and dear friend. We played opposite each other in A Man of No Importance at Lincoln Center. And she's married to John Pizzarelli, who Indeed. Is, I mean, pound for pound, maybe the greatest jazz guitar player in the world.
And their program precedes this one.
Oh, my God. You're kidding.
Nope.
Hi, guys.
They're long gone. Oh. They're at the studio. Right.
They'll hear it another time. Yeah. And so Jess and John and I just got together and thought, well, A, I wanted to make something small and intimate that felt like a real old-fashioned kind of record. And when you make an album, so often people hear like, well, then you should do this, and then you should do an up-tempo song, and then you should do a couple that feel like this. And I just wanted a whole album that felt like something you would put on at dinner. And I didn't worry that it would feel boring or just the whole thing kind of mid-tempo or ballady, because I feel like John's musicianship and his quartet, those guys are just so good. So we made that entire record in like 11 hours.
Wow.
Normally it would take months and months and months and tens of thousands of dollars. We made that whole album in like 11 or 12 hours and for less than $20,000.
Well, I say this as a compliment. It feels to me like an effortless album. And I feel, I don't know if you were influenced by him at all, but I felt some real strong Chet Baker strains.
Oh, yeah, man. That is exactly what, I mean, I didn't say it just now, but one of the things I said to John was I really wanted to feel like an old like 50s breezy California Chet Baker record.
Fantastic. Were you influenced by any jazz singers? Because you seem to be able to take music and have it filter through you the way a jazz musician does.
Yeah, my tastes are so eclectic, so I think that explains a little bit of that. But as a young artist, I grew up with like Pop 40 on the radio and like not in any way having a sense of a breadth in terms of my musical knowledge. So I learned about the American Songbook and jazz and Sinatra and the Rat Pack and Johnny Hartman and Chet Baker and all these guys.
The greatest.
You know, that's become my favorite genre as an adult, but it hit me pretty hard in like my early 20s, how much I love that. I just always felt really transported back to a sort of fedora, blue light, sort of, smoky day. Yeah.
How's your bird, baby?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you mentioned A Man of No Importance. Was that your singing debut in New York City?
Oh my gosh, yes, it was. I was here for a little bit, and I had like just barely started working and was like desperate for a job. And I went to the Sundance Theater Lab that summer to work on the very, very first incarnation of Adam Gettle's The Light in the Piazza, and made a long and lasting friendship and collaboration with Ted Sperling, who was the music director there.
Sure.
And when we got back to the city, he called me and said, look, we need you. Will you come and sing for Joe Mantello? I think he'd love you. And I did. And that was like my first really great job in New York.
And a great performance, which was, I think, a Drama Desk winner.
I think it was. I've lost so many of those over the years.
It's hard to keep count.
I think it was a Drama Desk. And
well,
the other
here
ones.
Are the streets of Dublin, courtesy of Stephen Pasquale.
I don't want to stand on the stage with a sword. I went to a pantomime once. I was bored. I'm not a poetical sort of a person like you. When I need a poem, the streets and the gutters will do. There's Tommy Flanagan who lights the gas lamps, 190 lamps in Phoenix Park alone. He's done it drunk for over 57 years. In Dublin, and down on Henry Street is Mad John Maher, old rambling Johnny with the face like hammered meat. But Johnny singing brings a Dublin man to tears. I don't know the words to tell you how it feels. nor how to put it in a rhyme. But if you come with me, you'll know how the lamps in the park look like God in the dark as they glow on the streets of Dublin. Dealers hawking and the dockers yelling, the busters banging and the ragmen ringing bells, and there's Maureen whose door is always open for all Dublin. And Tony Coyley with his racing pigeons, it's like religion how he lives to fly those birds. He swears they travel for 100 miles or more. I don't know the kind of words that you might say, but I can put it my own way. And if you come with me, you'll know that those birds on their wing are a beautiful thing as they blow through the streets of Dublin. And there's music like nothing you've heard if you know the right jukebox to play. There are glasses to raise in the praise of surviving the day. Down where Miss Kitty Farrelly is pouring whiskey, and Frankie Donahue is lighting her cigar, a smoky Denver working man don't bring the wine. It's the laughter of fellas with stories to tell, men who love to get drunk and raise truth back in hell. You'll come out with me and you'll see what you're missing in life on the streets of Dublin.
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 Man of No Importance, score by Irons and Flaherty. So I'm here with Stephen Pasquale today on Broadway to Main Street. I couldn't be happier. You've had such an interesting career, some obviously some hits, but a couple of near misses. And I think an important one for you was an Adam Gettle show.
Yeah, I'd worked in the theater for a few years and managed to sort of grab onto that experience for the first, I would say, 3 or 4 years of its life. And then when it was sort of in between It's Out of Town run and Broadway, I booked my first television show, and so I went off to do that, Rescue Me, and sort of became unavailable. But in retrospect, it was really challenging and sort of painful, but also in the end, great, because I developed relationships with Adam and Craig Lucas and Kelly O'Hara and Vicki Clark and Celia Keenan-Bolger and like that crew of just Hall of Fame music theater artists. But at the time, it was hard to digest the fact that I loved something so much and wasn't going to get to work on it sort of in New York. The memory of it is tender.
Okay, well, let's not poke too hard, but let's have an Adam Gettle doubleheader here.
Not Steve Pasquale as Fabrizio, alas, but the estimable Matthew Morrison from Light in the Piazza.
Against the wind, and do not know that you are beautiful, or that anyone is watching you. This is what I see. I notice how you hunger for surprise, and do not think that you are tall enough. Like you're standing on a mountainside alone, this is what I see. Oh, you're not alone. never seen before. Since that moment in the square, when your heart is carried in the air, just so you can chase it, just so I can be there. This is how I know, this is what I see. This is love to me. Is it soft against your face? Do you feel a kind of grace inside the breeze? Will there be trees? Is there light? Does it hover on the ground? Does it shine from all around? Or just from you? Is it endless and empty, and you wander on your own, slowly forget about the folks that you have known? Or does rising bread fill up the air from open kitchens everywhere? Familiar faces, far as you can see, like a family. Do we live? Is it like a little town? Do we get to look back down at who we love? Are we above? Are we everywhere? Are we anywhere at all? Do we hear a trumpet call us and we're by your side? Will I want, will I wish for all the things I should have done? Longing to finish what I only just begun. Or has a shining truth been waiting there for all the questions everywhere? In a world of wondering, suddenly you know, and you will always know. Mama be there waiting for me, smiling like the way she does, and holding out her arms, and she calls me.
That was How Glory Goes.
Oh, come on, How Glory Goes. Maybe the greatest song ever written for the stage, up there with the soliloquy from Carousel for me. But Adam's music affected me in a huge way. It also spoiled me because working on his stuff just is like right, hits you right in the soul.
Well, we heard that rendition from Kelly O'Hara, who I believe is
Hack.
An actress you have a passing acquaintance
the
with.
The worst. Can't act, can't sing, ugly.
What are you gonna do?
No, she's the best. We're really, really old friends, and we've worked together now, like, God, 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 times, not including readings and workshops. That's probably 100. But you talk about great singing actors, man. She is not affected by the difficulty of a song. The skill level that it takes to sing a really hard and great song and have it not affect in any way where she is in the scene and how the scene is playing. It just feels like an extension of the scene. And she's really gifted.
Well, I think you mentioned so many great talents, Kelly O'Hara, Vicky Clark, people like mm-hmm. that, who can, it seems to me, music along with yourself just sort of passes through you as part of the scene work and the objective. What's it like playing a scene with someone like Kelly who has obviously such fluidity? Does the acting stop and the singing start, or is it more fluid, elastic process?
Boy, that's a really good question. I would actually say that in most cases, the acting stops and the singing starts because everyone is so technical about getting it right. But Kelly's facility is so impressive. I mean, she could be a coloratura opera star anywhere in the world if she wasn't one of our Broadway's greatest stars. And so she doesn't have to worry about the singing. It just kind of flows through her. And so she can just sort of be really dropped in and a great listener and totally alive in any moment. And you know the singing is not going to be affected in any way. It's pretty like one of the great wonders of the world, to be honest with you.
Well, speaking of wonders, I mean, you have these sort of legendary performances of one generation, say, I don't know, Rex Harrison and Julie Andrews in My Fair Lady. I know for mm-hmm. me, watching Len Cariou and Angela Lansbury and Sweeney Todd is something I'll never forget. But watching the two of you in Bridges of Madison County, I'm sure is legendary for this generation of theater goer because it was it had everything packed into it.
It's everyone that saw it really loved it, and it's a great sort of sad tale because it didn't end up having a real long life. We couldn't sort of grab that ticket buying crowd, but for the people who got there in those short 4 or 5 months, they were really affected by it.
And I know you worked obviously with not only a fabulous score by Jason Robert Brown, who deserves a shout out, obviously.
Yeah, come on. One of
but
the greats
Bart Scheer,
of all time.
A great director of musical material. Bart. Do you start on something like this and do you act the lyrics without the music to get a feel of it and gradually fold that in, or is
there a
process?
I don't like to do that. And I actually don't even like when somebody asks you to speak the lyrics, even though I understand its value. I just think the music is so important in what's happening that if we're going to explore a song, I want to hear the music. And with somebody like Jason, he's got such a high batting average. Like, what he writes is just so often exactly right. You can really trust it in a way that I find really rare.
What I find, and we'll get back to this in a second, with a great composer, you could be transported from another planet, not know the words, and still emotionally get exactly what's happening on stage.
Exactly. That score is so emotional. I listened to like demos of it for months, just not because I wanted to learn it, just because I enjoyed it. And I think people had a similar experience when they got a chance to see it.
Well, you talked about his batting average. Here are two home runs hit out of the park from Bridges of Madison County, Stephen Pasquale and Kelly O'Hara.
For the first time in my life, I am not outside the moment. With a camera in between me and the world, I think I know. For the first time in my life, I am somehow part of something. You surround me, you connect me, and I think I can't let go. For the first time in my life, you have opened up a channel. There is nothing to contain us. We are joined and we are free. For the first time in my life, I am risking something precious. I am asking you, Francesca, come with me. I can't tell you I know what the future will be. Who knows anything? I just look at those eyes. You've got so much to see. let me show you there's crowds and camels and hillsides to climb. All I know is in all of the time from man's first breath to God's last warning, you and I are just 1 second spinning by in one split second. You and I have just 1 second and a million miles to go. I don't need to be rich, I don't need something new.
I don't want to go back to a world without
you. All I've needed my whole life was you.
If I left this behind,
please just look at me. You were born with a wanderer's soul. This is how you begin to behold. The stars keep burning, worlds keep turning, and you and I are just 1 second spinning by in just 1 second. You and I have just 1 second and a million miles to go.
On and north, torn in half before another you.
Come with me.
Open heart, open door before another you.
Close the door, turn the key, walk away. Look at where I am and who I am and tell me, is there something I don't know? How do I go?
I know what the answer will be. It's impossible, but this thing, this is bigger than what we can see. This is destiny. We are tied, we are locked, we are bound. This will not be reversed or unwound. Whatever fate the stars are weaving, we're not brave. Spinning by in just 1 second. You and I have just 1 second.
There was something in the desert. There was some place wild and green, and a child in a village I passed through. There are places that I've traveled, and so many things I've seen, and it all fades away. But you, I was sliding down a mountain. I was burning in the sun. I was crying with amazement at the view. I was capturing a moment, but when all is said and done, well, it all fades away. But you, it all fades away. It all fades away. It all fades away. But you, sailed across the oceans, past the cities and the farms, on a never-ending quest for something new. And the only thing that mattered was the 4 days in your arms, and it all. It all fades away. It all fades away. It all fades away. But you, cannot be torn apart. There is one thing that remains forever true. Past the thinking, past the breathing, past the beating of my heart, it will all fade away. But you, it all. It all fades away. It all fades away. But you, it all fades away. It all fades away. It all fades away. But you. But you,
this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and that was Stephen Pasquale in what is for me one of the handful of unforgettable 11 o'clock numbers I have ever sat through in the theater.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
So speaking of great numbers in the theater, I worked with you very briefly on a benefit concert up at Lincoln Center, and I remember sort of saying to you in passing, boy, I can't wait to see you play Billy Bigelow someday.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And because I could just tell you had the acting chops and the singing chops, and I've played this number a lot on the show, but only Sinatra's version. Mm-hmm. The concert Sinatra, because I felt he acted it the best, mm-hmm. Even though he probably doesn't sing it exactly the way Rodgers wants. And then I heard your version, which just totally blew me away as a total conglomeration of acting and singing values. Tell us a little bit how you got, this is Chicago Lyric Opera,
yeah,
and how you approached this guy and this mammoth number.
This is the Lyric Opera production of Carousel. Rob Ashford directed, Laura Osnes, Jared Emick, and Jen Gambatis, a lot of great people. And I, embarrassingly so, was only familiar with the score, with the Carousel score. And so since I was 20 years old, people said, you got to play Billy Bigelow at some point. And I thought, okay, great, that sounds great. Those are some amazing songs. But the beauty of that experience is that is a masterful piece of writing. Mm-hmm. Those book scenes are masterful. It is one of the most perfect evenings that's ever been created for the theater. And what the soliloquy is just a work of staggering genius. It is an actor on a stage in 8 minutes of song and music and dialogue. And it's like, I can't describe what it's like to be inside that song, but it is more powerful to be inside of it than it is to listen to. And when you listen to it, you think, oh my God, that's the greatest piece of music. I feel so many things. It's, you know, it speaks to fatherhood. It speaks to
eternity, your own image of yourself,
yeah,
self-esteem.
Yeah. It's I can't believe that show was written in, God help me, Larry, 1945.
It actually opened the week after Franklin Roosevelt died. So imagine audiences dealing with this whole idea of lost people and fathers and the next generation. It must have been overwhelmingly emotional.
And a show about a Lothario that knocks his wife around a little bit. I mean, that is dangerous territory in 1945. And the way in is really hard, and you got to get it right. That show is so easy to get wrong.
So what's the way in?
Well, Laura Osnes and Rob Ashford and I had many conversations about the sort of earthbound chemistry that these two people have. And when he would lash out, in our world of Carousel, we wanted to make sure that Billy was a boy in a man's body. And when he lashed out, he would immediately feel terrible, and it would become an evening of I'm sorry and forgiveness and sex and all of it. And we thought that really could be the way in, because how else does she constantly, you know, put up with him and not just like sort of kick him to the curb? Obviously, her circumstances are dire in, you know, 1902, coast of Maine, blue collar town. But, you know, we wanted it to not just feel like a guy that's mean to his girlfriend. We wanted it to feel like fraught with sexual energy and, you know, two really earthbound people who connect on a level that was very uncommon for the time.
Well, it's fascinating for me to hear it as a sort of classicist, because you are, as an actor, an inheritor of a tradition of much more dramatic material or material that's elastic. What I love about soliloquy more than anything is I think it was probably the first song where a character went from A to B in the course of the song. Usually in a musical before that, a character said, I'm happy, I think, and then they would sing about being happy. But what he goes through, the transition in this, is Shakespearean. There's really no other word for
it. And that's a great way to put it, actually. When I'm asked about it, I often say, you know, that entire show is really the education of Billy Bigelow. And it's not a guy who makes a journey from, like, flawed guy to not flawed guy. It's just a guy that makes the tiniest step towards, like, recognizing his own flaws. And I think there's something really beautiful in that.
Well, I think there are little or no flaws in this particular rendition. We're going to close out this episode of Broadway to Main Street with Stephen Pasquale with this great rendition. Stephen, I'm so happy you're here, and
thanks.
I'm so happy to listen to your music for
now. I'm thrilled to be here. Are you kidding? I can talk about this stuff all day.
Okay, here we go.
I wonder what he'll think of me. I bet he'll call me the old man. I bet he'll think I could lick every other fella's father. Well, I can. I bet that he'll turn out to be the spitten image of his dad. But he'll have more common sense than his puddin'-headed father ever had. I'll teach him to wrestle and dive through a wave when we go in the mornings for our swim. His mother can teach him the way to behave, but she won't make a sissy out of him. Not him, not my boy, not Bill. My boy Bill, I will see that he's named after me. I will. My boy Bill, he'll be tall and as tough as a tree. Will Bill, like a tree, he'll grow with his head held high and his feet planted firm on the ground. And you won't see nobody dare to try to boss him or toss him around. No hot-bellied, baggy-eyed bully will boss him around. And I don't give a damn what he does, as long as he does what he likes. He can sit on his tail or work on a rail with a hammer and spikes. He can ferry a boat on the river or pedal a pack on his back, or work up and down the streets of the town with a whip and a horse and a hack. He can haul a scow along the canal, run a cow around the corral, maybe bark for a carousel. Of course, it takes talent to do that. Well, he might be the champ of the heavyweights, or a fella that sells you glue, or president of the United States. That'd be all right, too. His mother would like that, but he wouldn't be president unless he wanted to be. Not Bill. My boy Bill, he'll be tall and as tough as a tree. Will Bill, like a tree, he'll grow with his head held high and his feet planted firm on the ground. And you won't see nobody dare to try to boss him or toss him around. No fat bottom, flabby face, hot belly, baggy eyed bastard will boss him around. And I'm damned if he'll marry his boss's daughter, a skinny lipped virgin with blood like water, who'll give him a peck and call it a kiss and look in his eyes through a lorgnette. Say, why am I taking on like this? My kid ain't even been born yet. I can see him when he's 17 or so, starting in to go with a girl. I can give him lots of pointers, very sound, on the way to get around any girl. I could tell him. Say, wait a second. Could it be? Oh, what the hell? What if he's a girl? Oh, Bill. What could I do for her? What could I do with her? A bum with no money. You can have fun with a son, but you gotta be a father to a girl. She mightn't be so bad at that. A kid with ribbons in her hair, a kind of sweet and petite little tintype of her mother. What a my little girl, pink and white, as peaches and cream is she. But my little girl is half again as bright as girls are meant to be. Dozens of boys pursue her, many a likely lad does what he can to woo her from her faithful dad. She has a few pink and white young fellows of 2 and 3. But my little girl gets hungry every night as she comes home to me. I gotta get ready before she comes. I gotta make certain that she won't be dragged up in slums by a lot of bums like me. She's gotta be sheltered and fed and dressed and the best that money can buy. I never knew how to get money, but I'll try, my God, I'll try. I'll go out and make it, or steal it, or take it, or adore.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.